This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
95% of Uber Eats orders are on time, which is great. Because the only thing I care about more than football is spicy pepperoni pizza for kickoff. But on the off chance your order is late, Uber Eats will give you 3 months, $0 delivery fee with a free Uber One membership. Now that's a spicy offer.
On time claim based on latest arrival time shown after order is placed. Offer ends 2/19/2023. Current Uber One members not eligible. Subscription will auto-renew at $9.99 each month, starting 3 months from initial enrollment. See uber.com/Uber1 for terms. Benefits available only for eligible stores. Order minimum supply.
Leicester Till I Die TV. Watch and subscribe on YouTube and listen on your podcast platform.
Oh, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes.
Back of the net.
It didn't happen in 49, 61, 63 or 69 when they reached the final. But the class of 2021 have delivered. Leicester City are FA Cup winners at last and are history makers at Wembley.
A modern day football miracle. They have blown their rivals away. They have blown us all away in truth. Premier League champions 2016, the amazing Leicester City!
Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
Right, Chris.
All right there. Welcome back. It is Sloppy Seconds time, and I couldn't wish me doing Sloppy Seconds with anybody better than Brad. I've been told by Chloe he's very good at it. I'm joking. I'm trying to find a bit of amusement in what has been a really, really awful day. But then again, it could be worse. Yeah, there are rumours that the Thames barrier is to close because of all the tears from the Arsenal fans because Mikel Arteta has signed a new 3-year contract. It couldn't happen to a nicer club. Sorry, Arsenal fans. But this is Leicester Till I Die TV. Find us on YouTube. And if you do find us on YouTube, then please, will you do that? Give us a subscribe, a like, and click that notification bell so you never miss a show again. And I think I've just lost all the Arsenal fans. And if you are listening on podcasts, whether that be Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, Podcast Addict, or your favorite podcast platform, we're all over the place. Thank you so much for listening to us.
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favourite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Broadcasting live worldwide.
I thought I'd be over it today. I'm not going to lie. Me and Brad said we would do this tonight, because by then we will have calmed down if we'd lost, or we'd have sobered up if we'd won. And I'm torn, because there's a little bit of me that goes, you know, we got to a semi-final. I mean, I was bantering with some Arsenal fans earlier, and they said, oh, how did you get on last night? I said, better than you, because we actually played in Europe. But it was disappointing that we'd got knocked out. And I think we lose games. It's part of football. It's the manner in which we lose them. And we've been saying all season, God, can't wait to get all the players back. Can't wait. We've got Ndidi out and we've got Ryan Bertrand out. Not exactly, you know, team devastating. And yet, when the so-called good players are picked, because they're all back just in time for the, you know, the quarters and the semis, we put in a performance like that. For me, well, I tell you what, I was actually contacted first thing this morning. I woke up and it was an email off the BBC. So if you go to the bbc.co.uk/sport/Leicester City, there's a couple of us do sort of food for thoughts, if you like. And they call it, it's called the Leicester Talking Point. And he asked me if I could sort of write down my feelings. So I'm just going to read this to you. And you'll either agree or not, but this was this was done at sort of 8:30 this morning, so do bear with me. I've called it probably our worst game of the season. Football teams lose matches, but if what I saw from Leicester last night was football, then I'm my mother's aunt. Following Leicester is a roller coaster, and the season has been one long dip. Maybe we expect too much since we returned to the Premier League. But were we that bad, or did Roma just make us look bad? I hate excuses, but we have been dogged by injuries. It's been disappointing, but we always said wait till all our players came back. Well, last night they did. And did it make a bit of difference? Did it jot? This is the squad that over the past two seasons has spent 37 out of 38 weeks in the top four, has taken us into Europe for consecutive seasons, and that won us our first FA Cup and Community Shield. In fact, it's better because we have added league-winning players. I've been critical of Brendan Rodgers where I felt it was needed, but I am a Brendan Inn guy. However, last night I felt he was let down by the players. It was possibly the strongest lineup we could have put out this year, but Forest FA Cup tie aside, probably the worst we played. Jamie Vardy saw little of the ball, while Youri Tielemans put in a performance designed to put clubs off buying him. I could go on. Brendan tried to change the formation, but it didn't work. It was like watching Leicester in a training match, not a European semi-final. Our passes didn't find teammates. We passed into a space a player had just vacated, passed it out of play. And every time we went for a 50-50, our players were pushed away like paper. Oh, yes, and the referee was diabolically bad and should never have been in charge of a semi-final. Rodgers said there should be a clear-out this summer. After that, I can't argue. And to borrow an Arsenal saying, without Europe next season, we could make the top four. Really? Brad, could we make top four next season now we've not got Europe?
I mean, it'd be a nice response, wouldn't it? But I think, you know, when you're able to have the joys of sitting back and really thinking about it and you scale it down, if Leicester didn't have European football this year, would you honestly look at that squad and say it is primed and ready for Champions League football?
And you know what? Last season, I would have probably said yes. I mean, you know, we wouldn't have been, and we would have been better off in the Europa League. But, you know, we were, like I said, there for two seasons, 37 out of 38 weeks, we were in the top four. So, yeah, we were kind of on the edge, but I don't know. I mean, would you agree with a lot of what I said, or was I too much? Was I out of order? Do you disagree with me?
There's some very good points that I think a lot of Leicester fans would be singing off the same hymn sheet as yourself with a lot of what you said. But in I think what we've maybe got to do as Leicester fans now is, it's like the club. We've got to regroup. We've got to reevaluate the situation, because realistically, let's just say, right, the whole squad is fit and ready for next season. Do I look at our 11, or do you look at the 25? Because you've got to look at the 25, because on paper, that 11 on its own, fit, healthy, 100% for every game, can it challenge for the top four? Call me biased if you want, maybe I am, that's fine if you think I'm being a bit too generous, but that starting 11, and I mean your Evans, Fofana, your Justin, Castagne, Ricardo, whichever one you want for that side, Dewsbury Hall, Madison, etc. Is that 11 good enough for Champions League to compete, to get Champions League football? Yes, it is. Is the 25-man squad there? Not quite. It's good enough to get European football. I fully believe and back that when it's ready and available. Champions League is still a while off it. It's not an easy ship to jump onto. We are seeing it this season where, you know, even Chelsea in third are looking over their shoulders a bit nervous recently. But you're seeing Arsenal, Spurs, Manchester United, they can't decide between them who really wants them. And maybe we need to look at the grand picture of things, right? Were we, you know, in 2016, after we won the league, if you sat every single Leicester fan down and went, right, realistically, you know, let's enjoy winning the league. But realistically, how many years off do you reckon, with steady, continuous progress, are Leicester off even dreaming of competing in the Champions League again? And I reckon 10 years minimum. We're not at that 10-year mark yet. And like you said, Chris, we've already shown that we can punch above our weight when we've had the luxury, and it has been a luxury, and we've seen that this season, when we've had the luxury of having our top 13, and I'm going to say 13 because there's probably a few players that you rotate in there, top 13 players fit all the way through the season, we've shown that we've got that about us to go and compete for the top six. But when we haven't, like this season, we've shown the chink in the armour and the flaw in the squad is its quality throughout its depth. Because while we've got individual quality that can back up the 11, we have still got areas of weakness that we need to progress. And we've still got a good 4 years until you hit that 10-year mark to say, right, now we should be progressing to be a top four side. Because you have to earn that over a longevity. You don't just get it because you finished
being top four. Don't.
You have to become and grow. In fairness,
when we won the Premier League before, as Doug, and good evening, Doug, how are you? I'm sure the jokes will flow in a minute because you'll be getting your own back on me for earlier. Liverpool were out of Europe in the 16-17 season. It benefited us. It benefited us when we won the Premier League because we were out of the cups early. We weren't in Europe and everybody around us was. And, you know, it made a big difference to us. So I would agree with you, Doug. And we've just got, you know, we're almost like a victim of our own success, aren't we? Because we won the Premier League when nobody expected us to. We had, and let's be honest here, we had an easy group in the Champions League. We could not have picked a better group for us. And you can't take any team lightly, but we didn't have sort of any of the really big names to compete against. And we made it all the way to the quarterfinals. And, you know, the last couple of, you know, but I just can't get, because then when we got to the quarterfinals, we battled, you know, in that Atletico Madrid second leg. I remember Martin O'Neill, I think it was, that was summarising, said, do you know what, Leicester, what have they got to lose? Go for it. Just go down and say to yourself, when you walk off that pitch after 90 whatever it is minutes, you can look yourself in the mirror, look at yourself in the mirror and say, I gave everything out there. And that team didn't last night.
Yeah, and look, we also have to remember we played one of the best managers that has ever graced the managerial circuit, let alone in England. And he's just shown, like Carlo Ancelotti this season, is that he is far from washed up. He just needs a team with some guts about it. And
yeah,
people might not like it. And I'm just throwing this out as a hypothetical, but may, you know, I wouldn't, and I'm not, again, I'm with you. I'm not yet quite on that Brandon Out brigade. I'm not thinking he's done all he can here and maybe we need to change it. But if you have that mentality leading your dressing room, like a Jose Mourinho, and again, I'm not suggesting that Leicester's next step is to try and lord Jose to here, but I would be for it, despite what people think of him. Right? People might like his arrogance and like his smugness. But there was one thing I noticed there, Chris, and people might come out and say, oh, the Roma players are throwing themselves on the floor. When one Roma player did that in stoppage time and Leicester got a free kick for it, he was there yelling at him. He was pointing at him and he was grabbing him and he was pulling him up. He wasn't tolerating that sort of crap from his players. And that's something that Leicester do need to fix. We need to find our inner Jose Mourinho. We need to find that bit of aggression and we need to find that bit of leadership and drive, because that is something that Leicester lack. And I'm not saying it involves the manager, because I'm sure a lot of people would not like Jose here. But sometimes you've just got to look for that when you're buying a player, when you're bringing in your staff. And maybe that's something Leicester need to look at in the summer. But I don't think we're actually giving Roma enough credit, because Roma came here played that game with a simple plan. Right? Yeah, Jose went, all we need to do tonight is score and not concede. Sounds simple, doesn't it, mate? But they did it, and they did it simply.
No, I mean, Roma, a very good side. They're top 5-6 in Italy. We can see what it meant, you know. Jose had tears in his eyes at the end. And, you know, it meant a lot to him. And, you know, he may have found a home where, you know, it will work for him, where it hasn't, you know, at Man United and Spurs. But we talked about this, though. I don't want to sort of harp on about it too long, because we did cover it last night on the end of the watch along. Oh, but it was just, as I said in that piece that I wrote for the BBC, I just feel that we didn't, not one of those players, I don't think there's one player that would walk off that pitch, like I say, that could say to themselves, I died for Leicester on that pitch tonight. I gave it my all. There was too many, you know, we got Vardy's back, brilliant. We're going to score 10 goals every game. No, we're not. We weren't before he was injured. Why would we now? Even now, we're not even getting the ball to him. You know, passes that were going behind the player. You know, you're passing to where the player was just stood and he's actually moved on, play it in front of him. If you're having the ball played to you, come to get it. Don't wait for it, because everybody was waiting for it and the Roma players were just nipping in saying, thank you very much, I've got that. And when you are passing the ball, don't pass it to a fucking teammate that's being marked by two opposition players. It's the simple things that we weren't doing yesterday. And I'm sorry, Roma, great team. Mourinho, great manager. Good luck to them in the final. But they stopped us playing, but they didn't stop us not being able to pass.
No, they didn't. And that's something that's been the pattern of our season, unfortunately. And again,
yeah, we've always kind of said, haven't we? Oh, wait till we've got everybody back. I certainly have. It'll be better when everybody's fit. And it wasn't. It was the same old bullshit.
Well, it was. But again, that is something that I think is fundamentally wrong with a few players in there. And it is the it's concerning that it is the players that have been here a while that still can't do it. And that is your Madisons and your Harvey Barneses and that. And they're two examples from last night that I really scathed at. And I think rightly scathed at. And I've seen a lot of other fans, not so much probably pointing the finger of blame solely at them, but they were getting a lot of criticism for the fact that they were too one-dimensional, too predictable, too soft. And the problem is, and it's something that I have said, that if you really think about it, the last three or four managers have struggled to do, and that is Leicester were given that title in the 15-16 season. And I don't mean the Premier League title. Obviously, we know we was given that. What I mean is we was given the title of the counter-attacking side. Mm. We were the best in the business at doing it.
Yeah.
But then we also seem to fear being that team that only knows how to counter-attack and nothing else. And every manager since, and including Ranieri, has tried to implement a plan B. It's gone to shit. And there was one thing that I noticed, and it's quite funny, actually, that your intro video shows me something that I haven't seen from us this season, apart from the odd one or two goals this season. And that was the Cambiasso, the Tielemans goal in the final, and there's another goal in your intro video. They're all shots on the edge of the box, Chris.
Mm.
And we didn't take a shot until the 78th minute.
Yep.
And that was on the edge of the box. In fact, our three shots we had in that second half, Madison, I'm going to punch him in the face if he keeps trying to sidefoot everything into the top corner. Just put your fucking laces through it, lad. That's what's most frustrating about you. You're so delicate. I mean, if you was any more delicate, I would not leave you in a shot with a ball. If you get that expression. Because we're not leaving it, but you know, it's just he's so delicate, everything he does, it's frustrating. But we'll probably do an end of season. I know we'll do an end of season review, probably me and you. Well, we'll go through the squad and talk ins and outs. That's all. I'll save that for them. But it, you know, we used to see the likes of Tielemans and Madison do that for fun. They used to have a shot that would sting the palms, and that would allow a free ball to, you know, be latched onto by Jamie Vardy, smash it in the net, or Barnes would run in and he'd smash it in the net, or whoever, smash it in the net, unless we get the lead through that, they get an early goal and we're all back of it. Now, they're either not doing it at all, because they're still trying to walk it in the bastard net like we're Arsenal under Arsene Wenger, or we're just hitting them out of frustration. And guess what? You hit them out of frustration, keeper can get a deck chair because he's got nothing to worry about because they're going high, wide, and not at all handsome. Well, they're going straight at him like they did last night. At no point did I, you know, we actually look back at that game, and there were certain points where them players had, and not just Madison, but, you know, Iheanacho, Perez, maybe not Barnes or Lukman, because I barely noticed they were on the pitch at times, to be fair to them, or unfair to them, if you will, but players in that sort of 10-15-yard area in and around the edge of the box weren't even considering putting the laces through it and trying to get one at the goal and cause it. It was like, oh, where can I pass to? Where's my next 5-yard pass? Where can I, you know, just no. Hit. Sometimes you just need to see it to get yourself on the front foot and give their keeper.
Do you remember, Brad, when in that 14-15 season, The Great Escape, and after that, like they say, because that Cambiasso goal you referred to was in the 5-3 defeat of Man United. And it was after that it all started to go wrong, you know. And I remember that season, because I remember the season before, you could have picked the Leicester team 5 weeks in advance because it was the same week in, week out. And surprise, we virtually were winning every week. With that one, somebody would score a goal and they'd be dropped, you know. But I can remember nobody wanting to take a shot. They'd come up onto the goal and they'd think, oh, God, I can shoot here. I'm going to pass it. And there was so many shots. And then Kramaric came on, and love him or hate him, and I don't think he got a fair crack of the whip, but that's another story for another show. When he came on, yes, he wasn't necessarily hitting the target, but at least he was having a fucking shot. It was, you know, he was having a go. And it very much reminded me of that.
Yeah, it did. It almost felt like the players themselves were scared to break rank, if you will, to break instructions, to go against what they're being told to do and not go, you know what, sod this. I'm taking this opportunity because I believe I back myself to score, I don't know if it's fear of missing and wasting an opportunity or fear of getting told off by Rodgers at full time because you had a shot and you shouldn't have. You know, we're trying to walk it in the net. I don't know. And it's funny, again, you mentioned Kramaric. I still remember that match because I was working at the ground. Unfortunately, not at the Arsenal one. I was working at the King Power on the night. And I remember I was watching it. And Kramaric scored in that game. One of the few goals he got for us, didn't he? And we lost the game 2-1. And,
which game was that? Sorry, the Arsenal game, did you say?
Yeah, well, we lost 2-1 at their place. And I remember very distinctly Theo Walcott and I think one of their defenders and maybe even Arsene Wenger himself all came on and said there is no way Leicester should go down this season if they keep playing like that because they were brave, they were taking chances, they came after us. And that changed, like you said, we slowly saw it, maybe even a couple of games worth. But that's when Leicester fans started to believe, going, oh, hold on a minute, we're not dead and buried. There is a chance we can survive. Slim, but we might. And if not, at least, like you said last night, Chris, even if at that point we did go down, you know, we were starting to see, well, we've still got that confidence and belief in us. Keep them together, we'll be straight back up sort of thing. And look what it went on to do. Last night, it was, you're right, it was like, oh no, if I shoot, Rodgers is going to smack me bomb. I can't do that. If I shoot and don't score, it's going to smack me bomb. And it's like, Where's that Youri Tielemans FA Cup final? Stop this. You're not going to close me down. I'm going to hit it. Effort. We need to see that a bit more.
Well, he's been dragged back into playing the defensive midfielder role when we've got Choudhury, who Brendan, like I say, was singing the praises of not so long ago, and we haven't seen him since. I want to actually... This was mentioned last night, and they actually mentioned it on Talk Sport, and they were talking about West Ham. Because you wouldn't have thought we'd have played last night, by the way. It was all Rangers and West Ham. But, you know, apparently we did play last night. Just in case you're watching
Talk Sport. Talk Shite. Talk Shite.
Yeah. But, you know, they made a very... And it was, in fact, a valid point. Was that, you know, because they're saying, where do West Ham go from here? And they were saying, well, Arsenal are rebuilding... Spurs have been rebuilding and they'll probably come stronger next year. They'll be spending money. You know, Man United are obviously going to be possibly back in the pack next season. West Ham could very much get left behind. And then there's sort of names like Brighton and Wolves that might be coming through. And I thought, you know what? That could apply to us as well.
Well, I mean, it will. It will literally apply to us. No, it could do. It will apply to us. And I think, you know, not to get onto the movie track that I've been on today with me for off, but it's the end game for Leicester in a sense. You've got to be prepared.
Is that a film you watched today by any chance?
No. Don't tell everybody. Leicester have got to be prepared. You know, we talked about everything that, why aren't Leicester in there again? And why aren't Leicester in there again? Well, we talked after that first season when we finished fifth, didn't we, Chris? And we was talking how it'd be nice to see your Wolves and your West Hams and non-biased me here saying this, honestly, it's not biased, but I include Brighton in that now. You know, joining that race and being up there and as an Avenger, as Avengers assembling together to mess up that top six.
Yeah.
But you have to remember that we're not the only ones that are trying to improve our squads. And like you've just stated there, it's not just West Ham and Leicester that need to improve their squads. The bigger clubs, and I hate the tag, but we have to separate them that way. The Thanos of this world are also strengthening their squads. So we have, you know, the whole world's not standing still while Leicester just catches up and gets themselves Champions League ready. Everybody's constantly churning and improving or rebuilding. So we have to make sure we don't get lost in that and continue what we have been doing.
Yeah. So I say hi to Luca there. I know you got your show coming up in a bit, Luca. Nice to see you. Great news for you. Arteta signed for another 3 seasons. Sorry, Luca. I couldn't stop myself then. But Brad, before we actually go into the game in more detail and look at the players and what have you, I mean, this is Roma, like you say, that we're talking to. Yet maybe they're not as big as they are, or they were, if you like. But they're the only team that have been in a semi-final in all three European competitions.
And do you know what? I don't necessarily think we maybe thought, well, I certainly did, fell into the trap of, well, you know what, we've done, we did PSV away, we can do Roma away, etc. But, I mean, they were 73rd. So we're 73rd in UEFA rankings. Roma are 11th. And should we be saying, because obviously there's two sides when you flip a coin, there's two sides to it. And we're very much looking at the, oh, you know, we lost and we're not in the final. But obviously on the flip side, it's, guys, we made it to a European semi-final. Not necessarily the one we wanted, I grant you, but it was a European semi-final. And I'll tell you something, and this is Luca and Arsenal included, 16 clubs, I think I said this last night, 16 clubs in the Premier League would have swapped places with either us or West Ham yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they would have. And again, I think the disappointment in our performance, or what's being considered a lack of it last night, it is overshadowing the fact that I still wouldn't class, you know, even though ultimately the journey in Europa League conference has ended with failure, in the sense of we haven't got to the final to potentially win the competition, it hasn't been a failure, because no matter how much quality or what levels or what competition certain players we have in the squad have played in, as a club on a whole and as a fan base, we have never, ever had the joy to experience this. You know, you talk about 16 Premiership teams. There must be Halifax, Hartlepool, Rochdale, Oldham fans scoffing at Leicester fans, saying, how do you have the cheek to be so miserable? At least you get to see your club in a European competition, yeah, let alone a semi-final. And maybe, now we've had the chance to reevaluate and chill out and take our stress out at work or whatever. Maybe we should appreciate the fact that, yeah, it was disappointing. Yeah, we didn't put in the performance we were hoping to see. Yeah, we could have lost a different way if we're going to lose. But at the end of the day, we're experiencing something that people are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years have been following their club and haven't even tasted a Coca-Cola, a Carling Cup semi-final, let alone a European semi-final. So
I'm 60. I said this, I'm 61 this year. And I know
you look a day over 60.
Yes, this is it. I know you're going to say I don't look it, but I look 70. But what I have seen in the last, I thought I'd seen Leicester, you know, when I saw them at Wembley beat Tranmere in the old Worthington Cup as it was then, I thought I'd hit the pinnacle with Leicester City. I never thought I would see what I have seen in the past, let's say 10 seasons or whatever, 8 seasons. And the fact that I've been able to share that with my oldest son is like, it doesn't compute. It really doesn't compute. But, and I find, no disrespect to Luca, I've got to think that, well, maybe I'm turning into an Arsenal fan. Maybe I'm expecting, oh, we're in the semi-finals, we should be in the final, we can do this. But it's a very thin line, in fairness, between wanting your team to do well and coming across as that cocky, if you like.
I mean, yeah, there is. And again, you're very right. I mean, God, I thought we peaked at that point, mate. I remember that game very well. In fact, I'd love to tell the story behind that at some point. We'll probably do it at the end of the season. I'm not going to go into it now. I'll save that for the show. I have a funny story about that. But I thought we'd peaked, and I'd never, ever. You could have given me a free pound. You could have given me the pound yourself and told me we was going to win the league, and I'm giving you the pound to put it on and give yourself a chance to win £5 grand, Brad. And I laughed at you and said, keep your money, mate, because it's a waste of a pound. You could have begged me to put it on and I still wouldn't have. I never thought for a second I'd ever see us win the league. I never thought I'd see us win the FA Cup. Not because we're notoriously bad in the FA Cup finals, you know, proud we've been in our history. I never thought I'd see the day we'd get to an FA Cup final, let alone win it. Did I ever see us, you know? And it just shows the development of the club, doesn't it? It shows the development of where we've come from over the generations. Because I remember when, like you said, we played Atletico Madrid in that quarter final, right? Now, yeah, we've got the history of Atletico Madrid, but if you're new and you don't really know about the 96-97 UEFA, you know, incident with Atletico in that qualifier, and you didn't really understand it, you probably looked at Atletico and thought, I mean, realistically, Chris, back then, did you sit there like you did last night before we played the game and think, we can really beat these? We really got the squad and capabilities. Or did you think, like most people did at that point, and go, let's go out fighting? If we pull off another miracle, it's a miracle. Last night, had we won, it wouldn't have been called a miracle. There maybe have been a bit of a twinge of arrogance with it, but I think we was in our right to think we had the squad and capabilities to beat them. And again, people talk about small things in football. Despite the torrid performance, one flash of brilliance would have been level, and maybe it changes the game. It's hindsight's a wonderful thing, but it just shows where we have come through these years. Because when we played Atletico in 97, it was a case of, hey, European night, never going to see this again. If we lose, we lose. But as long as we play well, we put our heart and soul into it. But we never felt deep down like we're going to win it. Whereas last night, we actually felt we actually really stood an even chance. And Jose even said the same. Now, that might just be him being nice in the media, but he generally praised both clubs as that, to thinking they weren't sitting there going, Leicester City semi-final, I'm going to thrash these 4-5-0. They were probably thinking, oh God, we've got to be on our game against these. And that just, again, compare that to the arrogance of some clubs when we played them in European competitions and in other competitions. You know, like when we played Man U in like a cup game, they probably thought back in the 90s, we thought, easy win for us, that'll get us through. I remember when we took, in 96-97, when we took Chelsea to a replay at Stamford Bridge, we had about eight players fit for that game, didn't we? And we took them to a replay and a dodgy penalty to what knocked us out. But they probably went to that game thinking, we've got Solar and Di Matteo. Look at where we've come from there. Nobody fancies playing us.
So we fancy our chances. Would you say then, and I've had time, like I say, what I wrote for the BBC, I wrote this morning when I was still, I hadn't had much sleep again, and I was up, and it asked me to write it. And you're supposed to write about 100 words, right? 364 I wrote. I said, I'm sorry. I said, you asked me to. I said, once I started, that was it. You asked for it. And in fairness to them, they published the whole thing verbatim. But obviously, you know, we've moved on now. And I've moved away from the, we were that close, we could taste it. Because maybe we have tasted a lot of success, as I said earlier, to beginning to think like we were in a European semi-final.
Exactly.
I suppose it wasn't so bad because Man City got knocked out, West Ham got knocked out, so it didn't do too bad. I just want to sort of go through these because, and I know you're not the best lover of, or the biggest lover of stats, and to be fair, I'm going to back that up for you now as to why we shouldn't be, but it's a bit hard to see, so I'm going to read this out. So obviously the main stat is AS Roma 1 Leicester City 0, but you just tell me if this is how you saw this game yesterday. Possession 40% for Roma, 60% for Leicester. I've just pressed the wrong button on here.
Attacks
94 for Roma, 129 for Leicester. Dangerous attacks 24 for Roma, 80 for Leicester. Shots on target 4 for Roma, 2. Shots off target 7 for Roma, 8 for Leicester. I mean, I wasn't watching that game, were you?
I wish I was watching that game.
Yeah.
Because after the possession one, it all went downhill for what the time is. In fact, there was only two stats in there that were probably true was the percentage stats, because that's become the norm for Leicester. We control the game in terms of having the ball, and the two shots on target, because I remember very fondly they were Iheanacho and someone else straight at the keeper's throat.
Yeah.
It's the only time I don't remember us having 8 chances. I remember us getting a few corners, but I don't remember them being from shots. So more.
Well, I double-checked myself on the lcfc.com website, and they've got, yeah, goal attempts, 11 for Roma, 36% were on target. 10 for Leicester, 20% was on target, which would be 2, in fairness, you know. I just...
10 attempts, that sounds too much.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? But, you know, I'm trying to get myself into this, like, let's appreciate what we've achieved. And if we finish, and we, you know, we were talking earlier, and it's for another show, but depending how we see out the rest of the season, whether the players actually turn up for the rest of the season or they don't bother, or Brendan decides to play the kids and let some of those come through, because we're not going down. So I wouldn't be against that, to be honest with you. You know, even if we lose a couple of places, but let's see what the kids can do. Because I'll tell you something, when we played the kids against Watford, they played better than the bloody A team.
And again, you could, you know, funny enough, we play Brunt, and I'm going to speak about him now, because he's another one. Something, again, and I will stress this point because it's a very good point. It's not a lot of clubs out there that seem to do it. Leicester have got one thing they're doing that's in their favour. The players that I would say that are committed to Leicester for the long haul, like your Fofanas with his new deal and his Justins and his KDHs, that he's got to look forward to going forward. And us fans have to look forward to. Brunt played against Tottenham. All right, it was dead rubber. It was 3-0. He came on. That was probably optimal. No pressure on him. He can't affect the game in a drastic way. And if he does, then he's a genius. He's world class. But, you know, it doesn't matter. He then played for the under-23s, I believe, a couple of days after that and scored. You know, if that's the sort of player that we're going to see, and I mean this with the greatest respect, Tielemans is going this summer. That's nailed on. That's nailed on now, because I think we need to desperately win this competition and somehow get European football for him to even consider seeing out his contract here. I would not mind at all if I saw somebody like Brunt, who's already shown he can do it at this level with the flashes of games he's had.
Yeah.
Drop Yuri. And maybe, like you said, Chris, with nothing to play for, not just giving these youngsters a chance to showcase themselves for the future that maybe are a year or two off, but maybe we start to look at next season already. Maybe, you know, if you're going to pay the 15 million, which if you don't, stupid for Lukman, you've got to pay 15 million for Lukman, really. But maybe you pay your Lukman like he has been doing over Barnes, to be with the greatest respect to Barnes, question marks over Barnes in the summer. Maybe you drop your Yuri Tielemans for a Brunt, you know, and we see the squad for next year already taking shape. Maybe we give a run out to Vestergaard, because guess what? With nothing to play for, give him some minutes under his belt. Rest Evans, make sure he doesn't pick up an end of season injury. You know, maybe not for Fofana, because he's only just come back and he's really young, so he can play. But there's players there that you can consider to look towards our future and keep progressing.
I mean, I don't know what the position is with the FA and the Premier League, but, you know, we've got two players that we mentioned on the show earlier. Craig mentioned one, I mentioned the other, Callum Wright and George Hurst, who are doing very well on loan. Now, I don't know whether we'd be able to play them if they came back, because they're not in the squad. I don't know. But yes, I mean, when Brendan first joined us, I said it was great that he came when he did and didn't wait till the end of the season, because he would have learned more from those 7 or 8 games at the end when he joined us, that we were playing proper Premier League games rather than the meaningless. Because friendlies are a totally meaningless, other than just giving you match fitness. I mean, you know, sometimes we have 2 games on the same day at the same time with 2 different teams. So, you know, that's all there for.
It's fitness, it's training, and it's integration for the likes of Dewsbury Hall, which you saw this summer.
So what I'm saying is if Brendan came out now and said, right, we know what we got to play for, like you say, we know this is going to happen the rest of the season, and I don't know if he would, because, you know, he may take the Premier League too seriously, but I'm going to play all the youngsters, I'm going to see what we've got, because let's be honest with you, we know we've got some good youngsters out there. You know, look at the likes of Luke Thomas and what have you, and KDH, as you said. and let's give them a go. I wouldn't complain about that at all. I just want to come to a point that David said here. I think maybe we were undone by the occasion. Playing a semi-final in front of 70,000 fans became too overwhelming for our players. See, I don't think so, because you've got players in there that have turned out for the country. Fofana, he's played for the French team, whether it be the under-23 or what have you. They've played in big occasion. Soyuncu, I know, right, Soyuncu wasn't playing yesterday, but, you know, they've all played, a lot of them have played in the Euros, you know, and... I mean, yes, it was an atmosphere, of course it was, but then the PSV game was an atmosphere, but you shouldn't be overwhelmed by that. You should be... I think it was Steve, wasn't it, said the other night, when you're on the pitch... you just switch off and you just concentrate on the game and everything that's going off. You don't know if the crowd are cheering for you or the opposition, I think he said.
Yeah, and I know, look, I do agree with you to the point of we have got the international experience in that squad, whether it's under-23s or not. But it does also show there's another element that needs to be taken into account for maybe players, you know, getting overwhelmed by the occasion. It's easy to say, yes, Fofana's played for France under-23s, Evans, born and bred, you know, long-serving experience international. We're not talking about players that didn't show that they weren't that, because Evans had a good game. You know, Schmeichel had a good game. He showed that his experience and that was able to be composed in the situations. And our back line, minus that corner, didn't really have too much to do and dealt with it well. I think the occasion comes to something you have to remember. It's something that me and you have both pointed out before. If you take out a Vardy and you take out an Evans and you take out a Schmeichel, I'm not talking experience here. I'm talking that squad's average age. You know, this wasn't just the first time for every member of that squad, because Vardy, Evans, obviously, most notably, and Schmeichel have experienced not just their own European ventures at other clubs, but they've experienced it with Leicester. You know, obviously, only Evans is the only one in that, at that then three. But there's others there, like Samora. I know he didn't play again, but someone who had that mentality of playing in Europe, who could have helped anybody or spoke to anybody who felt there was... But we do have probably one of the youngest squads. And it's not an example, but it's maybe something that you may think that they're overwhelming. They never experienced it before. They've never seen this club. And all of a sudden, that little Leicester in Europe, look at little Leicester in Europe, what are they doing there? You know, it's all something that we as and savagery that the English media does that doesn't help the occasion. And I'm not, again, it's not an excuse, but I think you have to realise maturity, not just in football, no matter how talented you are, that's an occasion that, you know, them players would have been playing going, and I'm not saying they had a bad game because of it, but you're James Justin, you're Fofana, despite his excellence and brilliant football mind, you're KDH, you know, you're Lukemans, you're Barneses, they would have been there going, wow, this is an experience. I know I've played it, you know, I've played against this side and I've played at a stadium with Fofana, but I will give credit to that Roma crowd. It sounded, what did you say? It was 70,000?
Yeah.
You could have told me it was 140,000, I'd have believed you, because they did make that place intimidating. And I'm not, again, it's not an excuse, but it's a learning curve experience for these youngsters. And maybe we have to appreciate the fact that me and you can sit here and everybody else that's watching can go, oh, well, they were fucking useless last night. I could have done better. No, I would have shit my pants. Yeah. I'm a goalkeeper. I'd have been wearing long trousers. So you wouldn't be able to see it, but I'd have been shitting my pants in that stadium going, oh, my God, one mistake. Because it's not just 70,000. You've got millions. And there would have been millions all around the world. It cost probably, maybe not millions, maybe I'm exaggerating, but hundreds of thousands of eyes would have been on you waiting for you to make a mistake so they could have made the headlines.
Yeah, no. You're quite right. Talking of the players, there's no pressure here, Brad, but what we're going to do is we are going to rate all the players and then we'll see how that compares to what they voted. And if you're in the chat, add in your bits as well, and we'll do that straight after this. So here we go then. No pressure, Brad. No pressure at all. Just have a look at some. The size of the crowd might not have been the issue. It could have been what the match meant. That's why us winning the FA Cup last year, albeit not with Wembley Stadium full, was a big deal. Yeah. I mean, like I say, you know, we're going to be debating this until we do it again, basically, aren't we? You know,
yeah, and
you know, should we have had the penalty that, you know, when Fofana was yanked down from behind, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's all that to sort of we'll be talking about. But let's just go on the performances as a whole. We are going to start with, well, let's do it. Should we do it in alphabetical order?
I tell you what surprised me, do whatever order you want, mate.
Let's start. Well, I tell you what, I'm trying to think, should we leave the substitutes till later, shall we?
Yeah.
So start first of all with Barnes then. Now, I haven't got a higher than a 7 because, to be honest with you, in my eyes, and I think you agree with me here, nobody would have deserved more than a 7 anyway.
No. I've always said that 7 would be very, very generous to give to any player when you lose a game, unless they really stood out as someone who, like you said, put their heart and body on the line to try and stop the defeat. And I don't think anybody's going to get a 7 from me, I'm afraid.
No. Well, let's start with Barnes. He only played 45 minutes. Where would you place Mr. Barnes? I mean, I don't think he's been on form for a few games recently, to be honest with you.
You know what? The last 6 months have worried me about Barnes, and he should be rightfully worried, because felt like over the last 6 months he's taken about 6 or 7 steps backwards in his development. You know, every season we talked about, oh, well, Barnes needs to cut in more. Well, then that season came along and we started to see that more from Barnes. Oh, he needs to be braver and start shooting more. Well, then he started doing that. Oh, he needs to mix up shooting and picking out a teammate better. And they started doing that. And then, like I said, this last 6 months, it's like he's forgot everything. And I don't like doing this. Because I don't like it when people interpret giving a rating to a player and you thinking you don't like them. But for me, it's a 2. I didn't even know he was on the pitch. I did not know he existed for 45 minutes. He gets a 2.
No, this is what it's all about. As you well know, Brad, it's a matter of opinion.
Yeah. On YouTube, on my link in the bio. Sorry, Chris, I got something stuck in my throat there.
No, that is fine. You do it, mate. Ricardo, he lasted a bit longer. And 69 minutes before he was taken off.
I tell you what, you know, I was apoplectic. I know that's a big word. I've been reading the thesaurus. I was in the post-match / watch along that it became in a sort of thing last night. And I talked about at halftime, didn't I? And you and Josh had a right giggle at my antics. But I said that Ricardo looked like he was the only one that was using that state-of-the-art gym and put some muscle and effort in. Now, you're talking about someone who showed the effort to put their body on the line and make challenges and be aggressive. I'm going to give him a 6, but don't. I might change that to a 7 because I was really actually impressed with his effort. It was one of the few that I can really note and talk about and say, actually, he threw himself around a bit and tried to drive her. So Ricardo gets a 6 from me.
6, or are you going to go 7?
You know what? Yeah, no, you know what? He's a benchmark for the highest mark. Put him in a 7, mate. He's a benchmark for it.
Right, hang on a second.
I don't like these 6.5, so we'll put him at a 7.
We haven't got a 6.5.
That's what I mean. I don't like 6.5. I'm thinking I'd rate him at a half, but I don't like this silly half a mark.
Right. Okay. Now then, little Wes, Wesley Fofana. Bless him.
6. Footballing genius brain he's got on him in young age. He hasn't skipped a beat with that horrific injury. Again, granted, Roma didn't need to, but they didn't really test that back line all too much. But he did his job.
Yeah. Now, and I think the fact that, you know, he's committed to us, let's hope he's not going to regret that.
He was in tears at the end of the game, bless him. So you know what it at least meant to him to lose that game.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Mr. Evans. Good Evans.
6 again, mate.
Six again. Right.
Yeah, I think you've got to give it to the centre back pair, and probably when we get to them, it'll be the same for Amati, because they didn't have a lot to do, but they saw it out.
No, that is fine. And then we come on to Mr. Justin.
Again, I'm going to give a six because I think he drove down that line. He tried to do something that Barnes was kind of stopping him doing in the first half, but when he had the freedom and was pushed further up, he kept trying to do something with the ball. I think he was able to do a great lot, but he actually got into the box a few times. And again, you're talking effort. For what we saw of it, it was scrums and scapes. I'm getting a bit worried here, mate, because it came from my back line at the moment.
Maybe I should have added an 8 and a 9 on just in case. A good evening to Cyber Leader, West Ham United Football Club. Hiya, mate. How are you doing? Yep. Shame for you. Shame for us.
Sorry, go on, Chris.
But at least the same is for us both. And can I just say that because the ball boys were safe at Roma because they were told to hide behind the goal that Leicester were shooting at, so they knew they wouldn't get hit. So if David Moyes ever wants to come out of retirement, we'll have him. We'll have him.
Yeah, and will I just say, just because this is a nice little moment, and I know we see him as a legend, but he's obviously clearly always will be a West Ham boy at heart. I have loved seeing the video of Tony Cotty on the fountain in Frankfurt, you know, with the West Ham fans. You know, before their game, it was brilliant to watch. I know we see him as a legend, old TCL, top cat, but I saw a video of him and with the fans giving it the big and looked half cut in old TC. But it was, I have to admit, I love seeing it, and it was a joy as a mutual respect thing with sharing a common player. It was lovely to see that.
Nice words. And yes, cyber leader, we've got to look on it. We're just saying before, we've got to look at it more that. We were in the semi-finals rather than we didn't make the final. But anyway, so we are back to, we've done James Justin, haven't we? All right, maybe the sixes are going to stop now because we are going to look at Mr. Maddison.
Two. Fell over, get the ball away. In fact, the most effort I saw from him was throwing his arms up, trying to G everybody on, which was great to see, don't get me wrong. I'm proud to see him. He was there clapping and trying to get them going, but he doesn't get your marks, your performance, mate. You fell over easy. You know, you tried that very cute, I'm going to lean away from the ball and flick it with the outside of my foot. Well, you passed it to a pigeon, mate, because you didn't pass it to a Leicester player doing that. He needs to stop skipping leg day and upper body day in the gym. Like I said to you yesterday, I would close the golf course and the fun activities, and I would tell some of these players, you ain't earning the luxury of this golf course until you can put the effort in the gym, because some of them, Madison's a main culprit, going down too easy. It was very non-existent for me.
Okay, fair enough. After Madison, we come on to him who may not be with us much longer, Mr. Tillemans.
I want to give him a four. He didn't fall down. Like Madison, he wasn't as unnoticeable as Barnes, but he didn't do anything too underwhelming nor overwhelming. I feel like four's the halfway mark, really. I don't want to give him a three because it just sounds like he did try and do something.
I mean, are we with Tiedemann's looking, and we've mentioned this a few times, the fact that he's not being given the freedom. You know, if he was playing the role he's playing now in the FA Cup final, he wouldn't have got that goal.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I think so. I think a little bit of blame has to go on Brendan for that a little bit. Because I've always said, haven't I, over the last couple of weeks in league games, I don't like the fact, and I'm sure Mendy is a bit pissed at the fact that he feels that he puts Yuri there to babysit him. And
yeah. You've said that, yeah.
It's not good for either the player, it's not good for him or Mendy, or Dewsbury Hall if he seems to do that with him as well. So, F4.
Talking of Dewsbury Hall,
you know what? At times, the occasion seemed to get to him. He was a little bit static, but for the most of the game, it was fairly good. He showed the aggression. He probably is the only one sat next to opposite Ricardo in the gym.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give him a 7, but I am going to join him with a defence. I think he deserves a 6 because he's never let us down on that pitch since his debut, in my opinion. He's never let us down.
They said on the BBC, I think it was the BBC, they were saying that there was times he looked like a rabbit caught in headlights.
Yeah.
And I wasn't impressed with him last night. I'm going to be honest with you. But then, his passes were going astray and he normally was doing well, he wasn't. But it's the first time, like you say,
I was thinking of giving him a 5, but the only reason I've kept him at a 6, and people can say 5 and maybe screw me and I can totally understand why, but the only reason I'm giving him a 6 is because even though he couldn't seem to get it right at times, for 96 minutes he ran around trying to get it right. And that's what I appreciate. That's what I rate these players on. I can appreciate, oh God, he's shooting aside. That shot he had is still rolling out of play now.
Yes, you know, the but no, good point the made there by David.
I've heard of the poor linesman still waiting to flag it for a goal kick.
You both make very good points on that one. Won't we buy him at the end of the season, Mr. Luckman?
This was probably the worst I've seen him play, and I don't know if he was on the right side. I don't know if he can't play with a wet turf. I don't know if he had his boots on the wrong foot, but he was a 2. And I'm not going to go any lower than 2. I don't like 1s and 0s because 1, you might as well give a 0 and be really harsh, and 2 says it enough. He had a torrid game. He couldn't get to grips with it. I think he got overwhelmed. I don't think he enjoyed playing the right. He almost looked pissed off that it was on the right side of field. Unfortunately, it's a 2, but we've got to sign him in the summer. This performance aside, he's still, with the second that window opens, I want to see Sky Sports say Leicester put in a bid for Luton, because I do really want him at the club, minus last night's performance.
Kasper?
Didn't have a lot to do until the shot at the end. I do agree with a lot of people. We either need to allow our centre-backs to boot the ball out from a dead ball goal kick and stop him kicking it out long altogether, and he needs to be commanding. He's the captain, so he should be commanding that box from a corner. Maybe he could have challenged for that, because I know it might sound gamesmanship, and I'm part of the goalkeeping committee, but the way goalkeepers are wrapped to bubble wrap, if he comes out for that and Abraham clatters into him and heads it into a net, probably gets a free kick. He's lost his command in that. He looks a bit scared. I think he feels a bit hard done by, so he gets cautious when certain decisions don't go his way. So for me, it was a 4. I know he didn't have a lot to do, but there was some aspects of his game that I just felt, you need to be doing better. Yeah. For an experienced,
a lot of people have said he should have come for that cross like you just did then.
Yeah.
Mr. Vardy.
You know what? I said I wasn't going to do this, but I think I have to. He gets a 3. We keep giving the proverbial arse licking to Vardy when he has a bad day at the office. It's, it was the supply. He's a world-class player. He'll always go down as a Leicester legend. But when he doesn't do anything in a game, whether he's getting the supply or not, you cannot give someone a 6 and a 7 and a 8 because it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
He didn't impact the game. He didn't get a chance. Whether it was him or not, when he had the ball, he didn't do anything with it. He doesn't get a rating. He cannot get a good rating just because we love him.
Yeah.
He cannot get a good rating because we love him. At the end of the day, as a striker, if that was Dakar, we would have get. I reckon every fan would have said Dakar was useless. Dakar didn't do this. Dakar didn't do that. He's a 3. He's a 2. He's a 1. He's a 0. Well, guess what? I don't give no bias or speciality just because of the love I have for this man. A club legend, an icon, a Premier League legend, in my opinion. But on that performance, it's 3.
Yeah. It was actually just checking there. 63,940 were there last night. Let's rattle through these a bit quickly because we've got still a long way to go. The substitutions, Perez.
I'm going to give him a 4.
Yeah, he came on. He only had about 15 minutes to do anything, so
yeah,
he couldn't really do it.
Iheanacho, people give him a lot of stick. Give him stick for Spurs. Some people didn't want him to start. He had a chance. He actually had our first chance. I'm going to give him a 5.
5, not a problem. Castagna, he came on 69 minutes.
Drove forward, tried, put a great block in, defending when Roma did actually come at us. He gets a 6.
6. Came on the 69th minute and probably came in with a mouthful from Brendan. sorry. Daniel Amati, last one.
Again, complete the back row, mate. Put him in there with a 6. Think he was brilliant. Think he was great.
Yeah, he had a full second half, didn't he? So,
yeah, he did.
And he changed, and give it credit to Brendan, he changed formation. So we got Ricky as man of the match at 7, Fofana, Evans, Justin, KDH, Castagna and Amati on 6. KDH was the fans' choice on the BBC for man of the match. Iheanacho on 5, Schmeichel, Tielemans, Perez 4, Vardy 3, and Barnes, Maddison, and Luckman too. And I think you got that pretty much on the ball there, mate. I really do. Right. So this was the Europa League. The Europa Conference League. But let's have a very, very quick look now at our whole European adventure this season. And we'll do that straight after this. Indeed. Right. So let me get the right slide up. And if you are watching, if you haven't done it so far, please, please do subscribe to the channel. It would mean an awful lot. And while you're at it, make sure you subscribe to A Matter of Opinion as well, which is Brad's channel. It's very much a podcast more than a video cast, but he's done 3 episodes. Links are all in the description below. And you can find the links also on Leicester Till I Die's and Facebook and Twitter as well. So, let's have a look here. So we've just done player ratings. So we started off in the Europa League, Brad. Seems a long, long time ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was.
We started off really, I thought, with a really good performance because we'd drawn Napoli. I'm going to say Napoli then. Who the hell are Napoli? We drew Napoli and in the same group. And we started off, and at the start of that game, it was quite like, we've drawn with Napoli. And I think we were all quite confident about where this was going to go.
Yeah, we were. I mean, you looked at that group on paper, and maybe this is good for Leicester fans, for not just me and you, but anyone, the rest that are watching, and other Leicester fans to watch it and see that where this European journey started and where it ended up and what we actually, the trials and tribulations we went through. Because it wasn't like, you know, last night's semi-final second leg performance was one of the, was the only abject performance we've had this season. We've had it a few times when we go through the results, I'm sure we'll talk about it. But yeah, we got off to a good start. And, you know, to use your terminology for the way we've been this season, maybe it was a false dawn, as we knew what we know now.
Well, I think it was, because the next game, we went over to Legia Warsaw and lost 1-0.
Yeah, and made a printing company very, very rich in the process, because they lauded that, didn't they? They milked that for everything it was worth.
You certainly did. Was it the T-shirts they did, or was it?
Yeah, they came out full time, rushing around with like white shirts with result print on it. Which again, we actually took that as a compliment, didn't we? Despite how annoyed we were, result was a compliment today that they thought it was a big thing beating us.
Yes, yeah. And then we went to, well, this was a roller coaster of a game, if ever there was. 4-goal Daka performance in Moscow. We obviously wouldn't be able to play that now, would we? But we beat them 4-3.
Yeah, and again, you maybe thought false dawn in it again, but you thought, well, if you do that, you beat Liga and that should get us through. We all know what happened, but that wasn't actually the case. But European Knights were suddenly looking easy street again, weren't they?
Yes, yeah. You know, Uriga's going to score one more than you. Again, brought down to earth, came back to the KP. Spartak Moscow returned to play us, and it was a 1-1. And yeah, you know, at that time, I think maybe we were starting to think,
Yeah, maybe. I think if you, now we can see it, this our European journey in all its glory. No, maybe glory is not the right word, being since we're not going to end it with it, but. You know what I mean? I think that was maybe the result where Leicester fans maybe should have gone, oh, this is going to be tough. We're going to struggle, because that was they were the two home games where Leicester fans would have thought, okay, yeah, we lost to them at their ground, but we beat Moscow at theirs, so surely we'll beat them at home, and we'll beat. And that what we all thought would have, at worst case, meant Leicester finished second. In the end, as you're about to get onto, proved not to be the case.
Well, we then got Legia came and visited us, and we beat them fairly comfortably 3-1. And that was like, you know, we should have got the T-shirts printed, shouldn't we?
Yeah, well, maybe. And again, you know, you looked at that performance and you thought, oh, well, now then, results can go in our favour. We don't actually have to win in Napoli, or we can afford a draw. Unfortunately, I believe, if I remember rightly, what came next wasn't just defeat in Napoli, but Liga Warsaw also missed a penalty to send us through into Europa League knockouts anyway. But
yes, I mean, that was the worst. It was like, well, you know, we always knew that the last game was going to be hard because it was away to Napoli. So we always kind of knew, you know, we'd have to be in a good position by the time we got there. And it was very much like that group F or G or whatever it was in the Euros on that last day. I think all four of us at some point could have qualified for the next round. To be, like you say, we lost 3-2, and it was very much people I've heard people sort of saying that doing a Spursy, but I mean that we were certainly doing a Leicestery on that game. And like you say, Legia missed a penalty. Was it the 94th minute or something? And which would have sent us through. And you're thinking like, oh, bloody hell, you know. But that said, we actually you can see there we finished third in the end, 8 points. Spartak Moscow. I mean, the table doesn't lie. They say that, don't they? You know, 10 no. points. I mean, Spartak Moscow, we actually did never beat us, finished top. You know, they didn't actually. They got one draw from us. I mean, Napoli came second. They got Barcelona in the next round. And everybody was saying, oh God, you know, and I don't think we should have gone down into the conference at that point. And then we might have had a completely different Premier League run, but at that point we should have been out. Yeah. I don't agree with dropping into the one, you know, thing below, but hey, you know, we have to live with what the rules are. But a lot of players saying, oh, you know, we would have got Barcelona, and we'd have probably got knocked out. Because Napoli got knocked out, didn't they, by Barcelona?
Yeah, well, I mean, you say that, but then Frankfurt, who everybody thought was a shock, have got all the way to the final.
Yes.
But and they knocked
out. You look at Leicester's performances after that, there's nothing in those performances that says to me we would have beaten Barcelona.
No, very true, but you never know on the day. Barcelona have been in crisis this season. Yeah. They're probably the Leicester equivalent in their division for how badly their season was going off the pitch. They were hanging on to Europe. It might have been a blessing, mate. You know, who knows? If the League of Warsaw had scored that penalty, we'd have played Barcelona. We'd be talking about how we got knocked out in the quarterfinals, but at least we played Barcelona. You don't know, do you? You know,
you don't. But hey, we stayed in Europe longer than either Spartak Moscow or Napoli. who beat us, and we ended up in the Europa Conference, where we had to go and play in the playoffs. And we all got our maps out and thought, who the hell are Randers? I don't know. That could be a song by Smokey. Randers, Randers, who are the Randers? But we did it. I mean, you know, 4-1 at Leicester. We went away. Barnes scored in virtually the second minute, which killed the whole thing off. 7-2. Yeah, I mean, that was impressive, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, not bad for a club whose manager sheepishly didn't know or understand the competition.
Yeah.
Didn't know it existed and whatnot, which is, you know, you can kind of tongue-in-cheek laugh at it now, can't you, thinking about it? You know, yeah. We're moaning we didn't get to a final of a competition our boss didn't even know about. So, but yeah, and again, not to say false doors, but, you know, I think respectively, I'm with you. I don't like teams that get a second and third and fourth and fifth chance to play European football in terms of dropping out through the competitions and whatnot.
No.
But at least we weren't given a free pass into the knockout rounds. We have to go for a qualifier. So whether it was Randers, Rangers or bloody Real Betis, we had to take on a side, you know, and it was probably good for Leicester, given their unknown state in the competition. You know, they thought they were done with Europe, they were out a bit, they'd failed and that. You know, they really took the initiative. You know, it would have been easy and you would have been forgiven for thinking, oh God, here we go, we're going to do a League of Warsaw again. Excuse me. You know, to see two performances of that quality, you know, maybe give us that overconfidence that we were going to walk to the final.
I mean, all these games we had, you know, we had the first leg at home, which probably, you know, we could say didn't help us. But we then we came up against Rennes in the next round and we suddenly thought, oh, hang on a minute. This is getting a bit serious now, you know. But, yeah. You know, we got 2-goal lead with Iheanacho again scoring in injury time. We seem to, our whole season seems to have been around injury time goals. But 2-0 went over there, and what a comeback game for little Wes.
Yeah, you couldn't have had a comeback game pictured any better for him, could you? Not only does he come back and your team wins and progresses through to the quarterfinals of a European competition, but he gets the goal that inevitably puts Leicester in the hat for the quarterfinals. It was a great occasion, and in a weird way, for the sentiment and for what it meant to Leicester at that point, it's probably, I mean, obviously, all right, beating Eindhoven to get to the semi-final will be that case, but it's definitely the second most, you know, biggest occasion for Leicester as a club, because that game was met with sentiment as well as success.
Yeah. And then we found ourselves in the quarterfinals, and suddenly you're looking at it, and this competition may well be remembered for the two teams in one that are, of course, blood-limped. But if you took them out of the equation, the other seven, and we include Leicester in this, you're looking at ex-Champions League clubs. And I'm not talking 40, 50 years ago. You know, we're talking maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago. All these teams have been in the Champions League, and you're still looking at it and thinking, like, I thought this was supposed to be a Mickey Mouse competition.
Yeah, and again, you know, we did allude to it that maybe it was, well, it is a poorly worded competition, to call it a conference, because I think anywhere, you know, we're not talking the meeting group, are you? You're talking conference means lower league to the English public, and probably doesn't mean too many great high esteemed in other countries. So it didn't help it. But yeah, again, 7 out of 8 clubs with European clubs, and probably 6 out of them, because you probably take only us out of that occasion, are European giants, Feyenoord, Roma, Marseille and that, PSV and everybody, are giants in the competition. They've not just played in Champions League, but they've played in Europe consistently, season in, season out. There's probably only been a handful of seasons between the other 6 clubs that they haven't been in Europe between them individually. Mm. And again, the competition got labelled as a Mickey Mouse Cup before it even had a chance to have a competition of it. You know, I found it very harsh and very unfair that fans were saying, Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mouse, don't want to be in it. It was like, hold on a minute. You're cutting ties with a competition before you've even established the quality of that in it. It wasn't, you know, it's not like we played Randers in the final and won the final 7-2. No, we played probably the hardest opposition that were left in the competition to get to where we were.
Yeah. Oh, great. And we came up then, obviously, against Roma, and we won't bring that up because we know how that ended up. But, I mean, in a way, because, you know, we joke about Blodo Glimt, but they actually beat Roma 6-1 or something at their place. In their quarterfinal, Roma lost to them in the first leg. And I was thinking, hang on a second here. I'd sooner have Roma because I'd been to Norway. I'd been above the Arctic Circle where Blodo Glimt is. And believe you me, it was bloody cold. I think if we played at 10 in the morning, it might have been dark. I don't know if that's the right time of year or not. And it's a plastic pitch. And this is why they were winning, because when QPR first had a plastic pitch, they did really well because nobody else could handle the bounce or get used to the ball. They played and trade on it with you. So kind of thinking, yeah, let's not get Bodo Glimt, please. Let's not get Bodo Glimt. But yeah, that was Europe, our European tour 2021-22. And I'm gonna look at this now and I'm gonna say we got to a European semi-final. Manchester City did it. Chelsea didn't do it this season.
Man U didn't do it.
Arsenal, were they in Europe this season? Just remind me.
No, Brexit FC didn't make it, mate.
No, you're quite right. And of course, you know, Tottenham were the naughty boys of the competition and got thrown out.
Yeah, well, they fell down the European stairs, didn't they? I mean, you know what gets me about Spurs owners? He goes, oh, yeah, well, it weren't fair. We got thrown out. No, actually, what happened was you was made to forfeit a game. Now, right or wrong, and you could argue that, they were made to forfeit a game. I'm sorry, but if Leicester fans were disappointed that we didn't have enough points on the board to make sure we got out of the group, they didn't even finish third in their group. They got rightly out. You know, they needed to. They would have played that game, still needing to win that to even get out of their group. They played five games before that and weren't good enough to secure their place. You know what I mean? I'm not disagreeing with whether they were rightly or wrongly not awarded the chance to replay that game. That's old news. You can't change what's been made. But they should have had enough in them first five games with enough points on the board to make it go, oh, it didn't matter. So I think if you look at it that way, we've had, maybe it didn't end in success, but I think we've had a very successful European campaign.
No, as I say, we have got a European semi-final out of it, and that has got to be good. I mean, I'm just looking here. When you click on it, it brings up Feyenoord Roma. But I'm just having a look because Tottenham actually lost to a small club, didn't they?
They lost to the lowest ranked club in the competition in its entirety when it started. And when we played Randers, they were the lowest ranked club left in the competition. And that's how bad Spurs were in the competition, mate. The club they played and lost to, it was the lowest ranked side in the European ranking system.
To be totally, I'm just looking down here, and their first game was actually they drew 2-2 with Rennes. They couldn't even win that.
And we managed to beat Rennes. Who had a better season, Tottenham? I think you found we did, mate.
I'm just being cheeky. I'm just trying to find out who they lost to.
AS Moura or something. Like they played a team who was like the same name as like Lucas Moura, and I took
that
the same.
That sounds. Yes. And weren't Celtic the only team, just in case you're watching, Chris Sutton, that actually got knocked out of all three European competitions this season?
I'll tell you what, forget Rangers getting to a final. That's more impressive. How you managed that one, I don't know. Well done, Celtic. Take a bow. You have to one-up Rangers, don't you? You know what? I'm not... I'm not really caring about Scottish football and that. It's not really something. But I hope good luck to Rangers in the final. I will say that much.
I say good luck to them as well. Miura was the game that was actually postponed, that they got kicked out for not playing.
But I think they lost them.
They actually lost 1-0 to Pacos Vieira or somebody.
Patrick Vieira? Bloody hell, got beat by Patrick Vieira.
They couldn't even beat him. I know. It was Pacos, PACOS. I think it was a Portuguese team. The coach was Jorge Simão. But then again, that wasn't the Santos reign. But
still, it's embarrassing.
Yes. And I'm sorry, I had to look at that for you, Tottenham.
May I just say, speaking to Rangers, I would not mind them being a little bit smug mode and sending a few pictures of Stephen Gerrard's Twitter account about how they've gone to a European final while he's managing like mid table Villa.
Yes, yeah. No, they are actually Portuguese. It says here, Pacos, 1-0. Ah, Tottenham, hey, Tottenham, what can I say? Brad, it's over for another year. We haven't got European football next season, but you know what? Tottenham, when I was fishing big style on Stephen's Arsenal channel earlier about the contract extension, and when he was saying to me, he said, "Oh, how did you get on last night?" And I went, "I'm going to quote what you said, and that is, we haven't got Europe next season, so we can concentrate on the league. See how Tottenham get on with, if they end up getting, well, they should end up getting European football. See how they get on with two games a week."
Yeah, yeah, very true, mate, very true. Because I think that the one thing you have to take into it is people, and I'll just end this quickly, people may have looked at Arsenal and Arsenal's situation more than Tottenham because they've actually got a good manager in charge of them. I'll give them that much, right? Mm. Arsenal, where people, fans and that, were looking at them going, what makes you think having a year out of European football of how disastrously you've been when you've been in it and shown you can't cope in Europe because you go out of Europe and have a crap season? What makes you think having a season out and then trying to get into a league race makes you ready for it? I think the difference is that if Leicester get asked that question next season going, oh, what makes you think you're going to be ready for European football if you get it next season, is we've never shown that we can't handle both competitions, because this season was different to the last two seasons, wasn't it, with our injury list. We have managed to show we can go on both fronts because we've got to the knockout rounds. We've got a European spot in the league. This season, I'll let it go. Now, next season, this is where Rodgers can really prove his credentials if he's got a fully fit squad and really prove he's the man to drive us forward. Because he's got to iron out the kinks in this side, and then it's over to him.
Yes or no answers. Rodgers, another season?
Yeah.
Agreed. And not a yes or no answer, but one or the other, Roma or Feyenoord, who do you want to win it? I know it's one of those, like, who gives a shit, really, but...
You know what? Because I've said it before, and I've mentioned it about the old Ancelotti washed-up thing and the laughing jokes that all Tottenham fans and that give him. I kind of like Jose. Maybe I'm the only arsehole in the group that likes him, but I do like him.
No. I like him, and I think he got a lot of respect from me. And okay, he may have been told to do it, etc., etc. But you know, when he put that wreath at the foot of the Chise statue, he didn't have to do it. You know, as a club, they didn't have to do it, and he did it. You know, his little cheeky interruption of Brendan when he's been interviewed after the first leg about the bottle of wine, and that reminded me of the Jose we saw at the start of the. At the start, you know, when he first came to England.
Yeah, exactly. So, for me, I don't really care ultimately if it's Vinyl or Roma, but for my little soft spot towards Mr. Jose, if Roma win it, I've also been an advocate of, if you're going to lose a competition, at least lose it to the team that goes on to win it. Unless
well, that's the other thing as well, isn't it? If we if Roma win it, we can say we were beaten by the winners.
Yeah, unless it's Nottingham Forest and the FA Cup, don't give a stuff that they got knocked out. I was happy to see them get knocked out because their biggest day out like this season was Luke beating us.
Yes, yes. Well done, Bournemouth. Yes, make them go into the final. To a double whammy there. I get a chance to go and see Leicester at Bournemouth, which is a bus ride away, and you knocked out Forest at the same time. Brad, thank you so much, young man.
No worries, buddy. I've enjoyed it.
I know somebody's waiting for you, so I will let you go, and I will see you sort of 4:30-ish, 4:45 on Sunday to do the Everton post-match.
Oh, yeah, God, I forgot we started football to play this season. Well, let's just hope with the freedom and the all eyes on preparing for next season, let's hope we actually can do this thing called win on Sunday, because we haven't done that in a while, so
yes.
Let's see, mate.
Indeed.
Great.
Take care. Thanks very much. All the best. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks to Brad. And don't forget to follow him at Full Time Focus and follow and subscribe to his YouTube channel, A Matter of Opinion, which can also be found on Spotify as well, because it is a podcast rather than a video cast. So make sure you go and give that a listen. If for no other reason, then he has some truly amazing guests on. I can't say what they are, but, you know, got some of them. And, of course, the topic we covered this week was should women managers be able to manage men's teams in the Premier League, Championship, League One, etc.? So I'm going to leave you with these now, and we're going to have a look at just a few comments that Brendan made and Jose made after the game and a few stats. Brendan saying, in the second half, we were much better. We imposed ourselves and made changes. In the first half, it wasn't aggressive enough. The players kept going until the very end, but we couldn't find that big chance. There wasn't in the many in the game for both teams. We saw that with the stats earlier. There wasn't a lot of big chances either way. I would have just liked to have a few more mini chances, if I'm honest with you, Brendan. On corners, the corner. It's been our problem all season. We have tried every structure in the box, man marking and zonal, but clearly we lack physicality in the team to deal with certain situations consistently, and that has cost us tonight. Well, I'll tell you what, Brendan, and I'm not going to go at you. Well, I'm kind of having a go at you here. Vestergaard, 6'7", on the bloody bench. Simple as. It's been a great journey for us in Europe in the last couple of years. We have a lot of young players that are finding the way, and this was a great experience for them. This will provide motivation for them next season. We just missed out, so we're disappointed, but we need to finish the season strongly now and look to progress in the summer for next season. Leicester have conceded 82 goals this season, the most of any Premier League club, with 22 of those coming from set pieces, 27% excluding penalties, and 17 coming from corners, 21%. You could say, tell us something we don't know, guys, couldn't you really? And Jose, with two UEFA Champions League and two UEFA Europa League, UEFA Cup successes to his name, Mourinho wants to become the first coach to win all three current men's UEFA club competitions. He's both a serial winner and an expert in dealing with pressure at the highest level. That is very true. That was Jose. And I thought there was another one that I've missed off, but no, it's not there, so I can't go through that one with you. Good luck. Good luck to them in the final. Like we say, it is nice to go out to the eventual winners. You know what? I can remember as a young lad, so it was like probably black and white TV days, but they said it's worse to lose in the semi-final than it is in the final. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I'm going to take this now for the rest of the season and probably into next season as well. Leicester made it. Leicester City, little old Leicester, made it to the semi-final of a European competition. We did the same as Manchester City and Liverpool. That's not bad. Think about it. We're going to be back at 1:30 on Sunday, and we are going to be doing a watch-along for the Everton show. I'm still after an Everton fan, so if anybody knows one, please push them my way. And then, obviously, the post-match show on straight after at 4:30. Do you know what? It's going to be an interesting game because we've got nothing to play for. So are the shackles going to be let off? Are we going to be allowed to play? You know, like once you get relegated, like Norwich, you know, you go out and, you know, you can play with the freedom that you hadn't had before. But Everton are fighting. They are fighting. They're in the bottom three at the moment. And it was well, they've only won one away game all season. So, yeah, kind of guess. That means they're going to beat us, doesn't it? Hey, we're Leicester. It happens. Fingers crossed, though. Fingers crossed. Thanks very much to everybody. Like I say, please, if you're watching on YouTube, Leicester Till I Die TV, hit the subscribe button if you've not subscribed yet. It really does help the channel. Smash the likes for this video if you've enjoyed it and press the notification button. We do 6 or 7 shows a week. Never miss one if your notification button's on. And if you've been listening on your favourite podcast platform, thank you very much. And do remember, you can just ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die, and you can hear me in full podcast volume. I will see you tomorrow. Take care, everybody. As I say, we were in a semi-final. We were lost by one goal. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Network. It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.